It's good to be back. Last week, I was at Calgary Chinese Evangelical Free Church, or as I normally refer to it, CCEFC. And it was a church that I had, I went to school with. It's a Chinese congregation that has a Cantonese, Mandarin, and English ministry, or churches, congregations. And I went to school with the Cantonese pastor, as well as one of the members of the English ministry. He's a retired accountant. He used to work for the city of Calgary, Uncle Bob, as they call him. And he invited me a number of years ago to preach there. And so there's about 2 years where I spoke there every third Sunday of the month, I think it was. And so their pastor, they now have a pastor. That's why I was there, is because they didn't have a pastor. And he's now there, but he was on a cruise. And so he was on vacation. I got to fill in. And Pastor Zeta from Good Tree was there actually the week before. And so I understand I know that Pastor John came and spoke because I asked him to. But I was listening to his message and I realized the worship team, you had no patterns going on this morning. He used the worship team as an illustration last week. It's always great to be an object lesson. I was paying attention to see if there was any patterns, and there wasn't, at least not that I could see. This morning, there's a number of things running through my head as I prepared for today, things I want to share. And one of them is kind of unrelated to the message, but not really. And it's this. Ange and Noelle right now are up in Olds. Noelle has a volleyball tournament up there. And Tracy is at the Hangar, which is what used to be called the Aerospace Museum. I can't remember its full name, but the Hangar. She was there with guides last night. They had a sleepover. I don't know how well that went in the rain and the thunder and the wind. A bunch of nine-year-old girls may have been very exciting in a steel shack in terms of how they were doing. But the reason I wanted to share that and how it relates to today is I'm always, as you know, our family is very busy. We're involved in lots of different things. But I'm always in this tension of with regards to Sunday mornings and the value and the importance of gathering for worship. And so on days like today, and I mean, with Noelle, it's been ever since she was a little kid and did dance. Dance always seemed to happen on Sundays. Volleyball seems to be leaning that way. And I'm always in this tension about the value of, for our kids especially, do we make them say, no, you can't participate in these things because you need to come to worship and be a part of this because I think this is very important. And I hope eventually they will believe that to be true as well. Or is it important to support them and allow them to do their activities? Myself, growing up, I never went to church. That wasn't a part of what we did as a family, and we weren't Christian in the way I would define it. I played basketball, and so the Mormons kind of run that, so Sundays were very sacred, and there's nothing scheduled on Sundays with basketball. But with these other activities, there seems to be. So the reason I share that with you is because as we get into the message today and this idea of the gospel power, there's an issue that's going on in the Corinthian church. And the issue is that Paul's addressing here, and for those who like logic and reason, this passage is very filled with logic and reason in terms of the argument Paul is giving the church. There's an issue about this belief in the resurrection of the dead. And he says to them, essentially, if you believe this to be true, or don't believe this to be true, as the case may be, then the thing that you say you believe, which part we didn't read, which is verses 1 through 11, that thing which you say you believe also isn't true. And so the struggle that I have as a parent and a dad or a husband and father and all those kinds of things, pastor, is that I believe worship and gathering as the people of God to be really important, but ever since we've had kids, there's been this tension of other things getting in the way. And so I tell you that only to say I haven't arrived at a conclusion wholeheartedly as yet. And so it's along the way, and I hope that as we go through this message, that what I'm trying to communicate is that we're always going to be confronted with decisions and actions, and my hope and my prayer is for all of us, we wouldn't just settle and go, oh, that's good, and kind of be done with it and move on, but that we would constantly wrestle over what is it that we really believe, what is it that's really important to us in terms of our walk with God, and ultimately, what is it that God deems very valuable, and therefore, how do we respond to that thing that God is calling us to. And so that's what we're going to look at a little bit today. We're in this series right now about the gospel story. Started with the character of God last week. Pastor John talked about the gospel need, creation and separation, and why this death and resurrection of Jesus is so important. And today we're going to talk about the power of the gospel. And so Leona beautifully read for us this chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, or this section of the chapter. And I've mentioned it a number of times. The Corinthian church, they were doofus heads. I mean, you could use any kind of negative word that would describe them. They fought with one another. They treated each other with disrespect. Those who had lots ignored or pushed aside those who had little. They very much, in many respects, behaved just like the culture around them. But then they gathered together on Sunday, presumably, in people's homes, at least those who they wanted to allow in. They gathered together in people's homes and they worshiped. And so they were a group of people who there was a disconnect between what they truly said they believed and how they behaved or acted. And that's what Paul's addressing here. He begins the chapter by saying, "The gospel I've preached to you, which you say you believed. Christ died for our sins, was resurrected, he appeared to the saints, and all of this happened according to the scriptures. And yet," and then the passage that Leona read for us, "some of you say that there's no resurrection from the dead." And then he goes into this long rhetoric about if you say that Christ raised from the dead, you have to also say that others will raise from the dead. And if you say that others can't be raised from the dead, then Christ didn't or wasn't raised for the dead. And therefore, this gospel I preach to you is foolish, and those of us who believe in this foolish thing, are to be pitied the most, because we're saying one thing and doing something completely different. Which is us? Which is you and which is me? There's gaps between what we say we believe and how we truly live that out. There's gaps between what we say we know and what it is that we do. Sometimes those gaps are a result of belief. We don't actually believe something to be true. We just say it so in order to fit in or to blend in or to go along with the crowd. But we don't actually believe that thing. Sometimes the gap is a result of urgency. I don't need to worry about that right now. When things get more serious, then that belief, I'll start to live it out. I'll take it more seriously. When everything breaks loose and everything's terrible, then I'll really start to follow God. Because obviously, if things have started to fall apart, I'm not following him. Maybe it's something else that creates that gap. But the reality is, there is a gap between what we believe or what we say we believe or what we think we know or say we know and what it is we really, truly do. And let me give you a few examples. Think about your lives and ask yourself, so we're talking in the context now of this Christian gospel that Paul was preaching. Is there still animosity or hurt between you and somebody? Or do you know someone who says they're a Christian and there's still animosity and hurt between them and someone else? That's a gap. Because in Christ, we are, what did Jesus say to Peter? We are to forgive one another over and over again. When you think about your life, is there still fear? Are you still afraid to step forward boldly, to pursue God, to trust him with everything you have? If that's true, which I know in my life it is, that says there's a gap between what we believe about who Christ is and how we live out our lives. Because in Christ, all fear is put to rest. In Christ, we can trust him with all things. Is there a lack of trust that God will provide? Do we still doubt or diminish, or a diminishing of who you are or who others are as ones created in the image of God? Do we still try to please people or tear people down, rather build one another up in Christ? If these kinds of things, and we could go on for a long time talking about these things, if you still experience that, if you still see that experienced, it reveals to us that there's a gap between what we say we believe or what we say we know and what it is we really put into practice. None of us, I don't think, upon examining the chairs when you come into the service, look at it and kind of examine the welds and check and make sure that it's going to hold you as you sit down. We come in and we sit down. We believe wholeheartedly that these chairs are going to support us. I've put on 10 pounds in the last year. I don't even think twice about, well, can they handle 10 pounds more? No, I just sit because I trust that the chair will support me. But there's lots of things I do, and I'm sure there's lots of things you do, where you know that this is what Jesus is calling you to do, to forgive, to show compassion, to reach out to the poor, to not worry about tomorrow, to trust him with your job or your kids or your grandkids, and yet you lie awake at night worrying or fret about it or try to manipulate situations to make things go the way you want them to. You and I have to recognize that there's a gap between what we say we believe or what we say we know and the actual really, really believing it, really, really knowing it. It's the same trouble that the Corinthians experienced. It's the same trouble that the Israelites experienced. I was joking, I think it was Jim and I, on Friday, we were joking about Exodus needs to be renamed, whining and complaining in the wilderness. The Exodus is only this little short blip as they leave Egypt, but the rest of the book seems to be about whining and complaining in the wilderness. They didn't trust the God fully that had brought them, rescued them out of Egypt. So what I want us to do this morning is to begin practicing some of these things. So I'm going to get you to close your eyes and then raid your purses. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to get you to close your eyes, and I want you to think through these statements. And this is going to be more of a, instead of a preaching kind of time, it's going to be a spiritual reflection kind of time. I'm going to say a statement. I'm going to give you some time. I want you to chew over and think through what it is you believe about these statements. Here we go. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that Jesus died for the sins of those around me. I believe that Jesus died for the sins of my enemy. I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, defeating sin and death. I believe that Jesus appeared in bodily form to the early apostles and to hundreds of other people. This is the final one. I believe that because Jesus died for my sins, for the sins of those around me, for the sins of my enemy, because he was raised from the dead and appeared to the early apostles and hundreds of others at that time, that in following him, I can reflect the glory of God to the entire world. If you like, you can keep your eyes closed, have a nap, or just keep your eyes closed. If you like, you can open them back up. That final statement is really hard for us to work through. Do you believe that you truly are an instrument of God as one who believes in Jesus, who died for your sins, who died for the sins of your enemies, who was raised to life again? Do you believe that he is in you and that through you, right now, right today, tomorrow, in the days into the future, his glory can be reflected through you and bring light to the corners of the earth? For me, that's one of the biggest gaps I think we face as a church and we face as Christians. We get into the realm of, I can do stuff and I can work really hard and I can make a difference. And then we get really tired and we get frustrated and we get irritated. Why am I always having to do all this work? But there's the gap to know that Christ really lives in us, that he wants to move through us, that he's called us in everything we do to reflect his glory. That his death and resurrection 2,000-ish years ago was an event in history, and we often think of sometime in the future when I die, that event is going to have an effect on my life and I'll be raised to dead. That's the story we tell often. That's the story that Paul was wrestling with the Corinthians with. But the thing I think we miss the most is that that same power, that gospel that raised Christ from the dead, which is good news to us, that will eventually raise us to new life at some point in the future, that same power can work in and through us right now. That you and I can be instruments, as Michael sang on Friday, we can be instruments of God's peace. That you and I, wherever we go, things should be transformed because of the presence of Christ in and through us. That the power of God is at work here and now. That that anger that you feel towards someone can actually be let go. That that worry about finances can actually be put aside and let go. That that concern for your family, kids or grandkids or neighbors, doesn't have to be your worry, but can be your prayer, and allow that to be Jesus' worry. Because you and I don't transform people. We only reflect, are called to reflect, God's glory. The work of transformation happens through and by God, which is how that section that Leona read for us finishes up, which I'll read once again. When all things are subjected to him, the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. The gospel story, the news, this message that we tell is that God gave Christ all things. The Gospel of John tells us, his message to us tells us that through Christ, creation happened. And once everything is reconciled, once everything's been worked out, once Jesus has done everything he's been called by the Father to do, it will all be given back to the Father. And he will be in charge is not the right word. But it will be all restored as the way he originally created it. Only it won't be as he originally created it. It was just one man and one woman in a garden. It will be a whole new heavens and earth, with those who follow Christ working and living and interacting with one another, creating and multiplying, doing the things that we were called to do as the people of God. And so the challenge before us is, do we really believe that? Do we really honestly believe that right here, right now, in these moments and times that we have, that that same Christ who lived and died and was resurrected can work and wants to work and desires to work through us to reflect his glory? Whatever it is in your life that's creating that gap between believing that to be true and fully living it out, become keenly aware of it and start to close it. If it's a matter of simple belief, you don't quite trust it, you don't quite think it to be true, pursue God with everything you have. Invite him to reveal and show you that that is true. If you do believe it and you're like, yeah, I can consent, is that the right word? Consent to that, assent to that. But there's still that gap because there may be an urgency. I don't need to deal with it now. I don't need to forgive that person now because I really still want to be angry with them. I don't need to be generous now because I don't have much of my own. If there's still a gap because of an urgency issue, you'll deal with it sometime in the future, I would say take that step of faith and start dealing with it right now. Deal with those gaps right now. If you believe Christ to be true, if you believe he's Son of God, died and was resurrected, begin to take steps of faith right now to practice his ways. If there's something else that's creating those gaps, that's why we have to reflect. That's why we have to create space in our lives, so that we can examine, why is there this gap and what do I need to do about it to conform my life to Christ? Because it's guys like Paul who wrote to this church where there was these huge disconnects, We need to hear his words today. For the Corinthians, it was a matter of the dead being raised. But it was also a matter of a lot of other stuff, just like for you and I. And so my hope and my prayer is that we would continue to grow as the people of God, recognizing that the power of the gospel, the death and resurrection of Jesus, the good news that the sin that Pastor John talked about last week, the separation that is a result of that sin, doesn't need to maintain. That in Christ, we can be the hope of glory. In Christ, we can once again take up the work that he's called us to communicate and to share his love throughout the world. But it takes a step of faith. It takes a willingness to let go of the things we hold on to and to trust Jesus with everything we have. And so wherever you find yourself today, my hope and my prayer for each one of us is that we would take that step towards Christ, that we would close that gap a little bit more between what we say we believe and how it is we live out our life. Because the promise of the gospel is that it has power right here, right now. And so wherever you find yourself, pursue Christ with everything you have. Let go of past and move into Jesus. Practice his ways. Give life over to him that we might continually grow together as the people of God, reflecting his glory each and every day. And so to finish things off, I want you to close your eyes once more. And I'm going to read these statements once again, and I'm going to close in prayer, and the worship team can come and lead us in the final song. I believe this, that Jesus is the Son of God, who died for my sins and the sins of those around me. I believe that Jesus died even for the sins of my enemy, that he was raised from the dead. He defeated sin and death. I believe that Jesus appeared in bodily form to the early apostles and hundreds of others. I believe that because Jesus died for my sins, because he was raised from the dead, in following him, I can reflect the glory of God to the entire world. Lord, for those of us who believe these things, give us the courage to step out in faith, to pursue them each and every moment of our lives. Give us a sense of urgency to pursue you, to let go of anger, to let go of frustration, to let go of worry and fear, and to trust in you. Lord, for those of us who maybe don't quite believe as yet, reveal yourself to us. Give us eyes to see you, ears to hear you. Call us into your presence. And Lord, wherever we are in our journey of faith, individually and as a church, may we continue to trust you, seek you, reflect you with everything we have. We praise you, Father, for this day. The gospel power is here and now to be your people as you are our God. We praise you, Jesus. Amen.